We had hoped to be down in North Carolina today, but because of the discussions in the nation's capital, I felt it was more appropriate to be here to deal with the aftermath of whatever Congress ultimately decides to do or not to do in terms of the shutdown. But we wanted the opportunity to acquaint folks in North Carolina who are on the cutting edge of biofuels already that we are anxious to expand opportunities for companies that basically make distribution systems and pumping systems for ethanol use at gas stations. We currently have roughly 2,300 gas stations around the country that have E85 available to consumers who have flexible fuel vehicles. There are approximately 8 million of those vehicles. And what we want to be able to do is increase that number by 10,000 over the next couple of years. And so we have recalibrated and clarified a program called the REAP program, the Renewable Energy for America program, to provide financial assistance to gas station owners, convenience store owners who want to install blender pump facilities that will make it easier for people to get the percentage of ethanol that is best for their automobile, whether it's E10, E15, or E85.
All right, great. What is this going to mean for this plant in Greensboro, this Gilbarco Vita Root plant?
Well, Gilbarco basically makes the distribution systems. They produce the distribution systems, which is why I said that that North Carolina is on the cutting edge. Obviously, if we increase demand for these distribution systems, it's going to be easier for that company to continue to produce, continue to be profitable, and continue to employ people. And our view is that this is an opportunity for us to send a message to the industry that we are very much behind what they're doing, want to be supportive of it, and want to provide financial incentives so that more people can purchase the equipment that they're capable of producing. And our hope is that that ultimately leads to additional job growth. When we expand the biofuel industry generally by making it more conveniently available for consumers, by helping producers use a variety of feedstocks, we're going to create more jobs in rural America. And it's been estimated perhaps as many as a million new jobs can be created when we reach the 36 billion gallon goal that Congress has set for the country. We're not going to be able to meet that goal unless we have these dispensing systems, these blender pumps. And it's one of the great things about Gilbarco. They basically manufacture these pumps and these distribution systems, so it should be good for their business.
There was recently an article in the New York Times, I think it was yesterday, about biofuels and how it's leading to higher food costs and all that. Is ethanol the way to go?
Well, you know, I'm really concerned about the suggestion that there's some direct correlation between higher food costs and biofuel production. And here's why I'm concerned about it. First of all, farmers generally only get 16 cents out of every food dollar. 84 cents goes to somebody else. It goes to people who process, people who truck, people who store, people who refrigerate, people who shelve, people who package food. A lot of those items are directly connected to energy costs, and so when oil prices go up, that's probably more likely a better explanation for why people are now faced with higher food costs than ethanol production. The last time food prices went up in 2008 and we had a spike in ethanol production, we concluded that about 10% of the increase in food costs, 10%, only 10% was responsible or connected to ethanol production. The other 90% was for some other purpose.
Okay. And I also saw reports, and I am not sure if this is true or not, that E85 ethanol can reduce carbon emissions by about 17%. But it would also increase smog. Is that true?
I don't think that's true. I think it's based on some old studies about the efficiency and the effectiveness and the environmental impact of ethanol. There's no question that it is as a result of the enormous increases in productivity among American agriculture, the production of ethanol is essentially a carbon a net carbon benefit to the environment. The reason why we have so much ethanol today is because we want to avoid the water contamination of other blends that were polluting the water. So it's an environmentally better for us in the long run, number one. And number two, it certainly reduces our dependence on foreign oil. Oil that comes from countries from a very unstable part of the world today, which is one of the reasons why we're facing $120 oil today.
Okay. And when you talked about earlier the distribution systems that Gilbarco makes, are you talking about basically fuel pumps?
They're pumps that basically, when you go into a gas station and you you need a blend of gas. There are going to be varieties of and vehicles that can use different blends. There are going to be vehicles that are set for E10 or E15, and there are vehicles that can take up to 85% ethanol. The challenge will be for a customer to get whatever blend they need conveniently. So in the long run, what we hope to see across the country are what are called blender pumps, where you essentially pull into the gas station, you pull up to the pump, you dial your blend rate that you need, and the distribution system takes care of making sure that the right blend gets into your car.
Oh, wow. Okay, so 2,300 stations already can do that?
2,300 stations can provide E85. They can't necessarily dial down to E10 or E15. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create a far more convenient supply, and that will in turn encourage, we believe, greater demand for cars that can use a higher blends of ethanol, which in turn creates a greater demand for the fuel, which in turn results in more of it being produced, and we'll reach the 36 billion gallons that Congress has established. And when we do that, we'll see up to 1 million jobs in rural America.
Mr. Vilsack, will you be able to do this? I mean, because I know that, you know, we've got these huge fights right now going on over the budget, over spending and all of that. And how is this going to be paid for? And, you know, how does it practically get implemented? Is it...
This is not new money that we're discussing today. This is a clarification or recalibration of existing resources that have been provided under the 2008 Farm Bill. They are not in the discretionary part of the budget, so they really aren't the subject of the discussion that's taking place today. That's all primarily about women's health care and concerns about that. It's not about mandatory spending in terms of this particular program. So the resources have been allocated, appropriated, directed by Congress, and we're just essentially saying they're now available to be used as an incentive for someone to purchase one of these pumping systems so that we can make ethanol at whatever blend more conveniently available.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. And when will these incentives be available?
Well, they're available, immediately.
Immediately. Okay.
There's an opportunity for folks to apply for funds under the REAP program and until those resources are exhausted, and there's roughly $99 million left in that account, if you will. We have funded about 4,000 projects under REAP in the past. They include anaerobic digesters and windmills and solar systems and geothermal systems. This just simply adds to that list of fuel distribution systems.
And to be clear, this is money that's going to go to the gas stations themselves to implement this new technology?
To make it a little bit easier for them to be able to afford the cost of putting in a new tank or putting in a new storage tank and a new pumping system.